weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
Now it's time for our regular catch-up with one of our most important minor parties about the political hot potatoes of today and tomorrow. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has utilised her platform on the international stage during the UN General Assembly to advertise a Christchurch call, a joint initiative with the French President Emmanuel Macron to help combat online extremism. The ACT Party is highly critical of this initiative, believing that it is not the best thing Ardern could have done with her time in the international spotlight. Casper spoke to ACT leader David Seymour, filling in for his deputy Brooke Van Velden, about this criticism, as well as one topic some believe Ardern should be pushing for more, investment in New Zealand's economy. He first asked Seymour to explain what the initiative is and characterise his opposition to it.
Well, I think defining the government's Christchurch call is very difficult to do. What we know is that social media is one of the major phenomena of our age. It's created companies that have an influence over the world, perhaps greater than any small group of companies has had before. And that raises a whole lot of technological and ethical questions. Now, this has been going on for at least a decade now. The government's Christchurch call, it's not really clear what, if any, role is being played in that, or what tangible changes have occurred that weren't already occurring. What does appear to have happened is that, as is often the case, the Prime Minister has taken advantage of a situation and publicised herself and attached herself to something extremely well. But what I really question is the ethics of doing that when she would not be involved in this discussion, was it not for our nation's tragedy in Christchurch, and if she's not having any effect, but just trying to take the credit against that backdrop, I think that's actually quite sinister and shameful.
Do you believe that the Prime Minister's international platform in New York could have been better utilised, and if so, how?
Look, I think, frankly, the problem with the Prime Minister's international platform now is that it's just not credible when the outcomes in her own country are so poor. If you look at just about any metric that this government can be measured by, very difficult to see where Jacinda Ardern has been effective at home, and I think that dents her credibility abroad, so I'm not sure there's much she could have done regardless of her choice of topic.
So to clarify, do you believe that the Prime Minister should not have travelled to New York to speak at the United Nations General Assembly, or do you believe that she should have addressed other topics?
Look, she's got to go. I mean, it's part of the duty of being the Prime Minister. I just make the point, but I don't think she's a particularly effective spokesperson for New Zealand, because ultimately people ask the question, you know, how are you managing policy in your home country? And the answers there are basically all negative. So it's very difficult for her to speak credibly. I guess what I would like to see as a Prime Minister who has succeeded and dealing with some of the problems that New Zealanders face around housing and productivity, where's the opportunity for someone earning 65 grand to actually have a chance to get ahead and have a future in this country, rather than, like so many, be balancing up leaving? I'd like to see a Prime Minister that had solved all those problems tangibly and then could go and say, look, here's what New Zealand can offer the world. Instead, she's trying to lecture dictators with nuclear weapons when her government hasn't figured out how to contain losers with hammers knocking over another jewellery store in Hamilton.
To quickly finish this topic, what do you believe the role of the government is in combating online extremism?
Well, I think the government, first of all, needs to deal with really acutely bad stuff by censoring it. And by that, I mean child pornography. By that I mean things that are a clear breach of the law, incitement to violence, threats of violence, and perhaps criminal nuisance. Those are things where the government has a role. But apart from that, I think the government has to accept that free speech is the best way to resolve differences. And if you doubt that, you only have to look at what's recently happened to Salman Rushdie. Now, that is a textbook example of people who do not respect free speech, and the alternative is that they turn to violence. We need to make sure that we have a society where people, by and large, or universally actually, settle their differences through peaceful means, through words rather than actions, because otherwise you just have a dismal future.
One of the things that many have been calling for the government to promote more internationally is foreign direct investment, particularly as we come out of COVID and these restrictions. What exactly is FDI and why is it important?
Well, foreign direct investment is when somebody from another country invests directly in a business in New Zealand or in any country, I guess. What it means is that people can bring, first of all, capital, but also expertise to raise the productivity of a company and a sector. And that's happening right now with Costco. A lot of excitement about that today. The idea that Costco is going to shake up the grocery market, bring in a different model of distributing and marketing goods that is going to hopefully drive down the prices that people pay in the big supermarkets. So that would be a good example of FDI and the difference it can make for New Zealand. Another one, I recently visited Cloudy Bay, the wine maker. They're actually a part of the Louis Vuitton, Moët and Chandon group out of Paris. And one thing I noticed about that business is how sophisticated they are, because they're getting all the know-how and in some cases the money sent from France, where they've been making fine wine for a long time, and they do it on a much bigger scale than we're used to. So it can be a very positive thing. I think the problem New Zealand has is that if you look at how much foreign direct investment there is per worker, we're a little bit over half what they have in Australia. So if you wonder why Australians are paid more, in part it's because they have more foreign direct investment, more inflows of capital, more inflows of know-how, means they're more integrated into the global economy and they're paid more. You look at countries like Estonia, Israel, really fast-growing economies, they're at two or three times the FDI per worker that New Zealand has. So we've got to ask how we get more of this. And the number one thing that we need to do is just stop stopping them. So we have some of the most onerous restrictions in the developed world for people trying to invest in New Zealand. And we're just, if we were so rich that we could afford to do dumb stuff, then maybe we could afford this policy. But we just can't afford to be, telling people who want to invest in New Zealand not to bother. And that's effectively what we do with our Overseas Investment Act, Overseas Investment Office. The ACT Party says we should say, look, if you're a democratic country, meaning you're a member of the OECD, you don't have to go through that rigmarole. You can just invest, bring your money and know-how to New Zealand.
Do you believe that it's necessary for government regulation to limit foreign direct investment to that which is largely in the country's interest?
Well, the problem with that is that the government, somebody has to decide what's in the country's interest. And ACT would argue that so long as you've got a willing buyer and a willing seller, then that's telling you something. People are actually willing to put up their own time and money to invest in an enterprise or to buy off a company. That tells you something good is already happening for those people. Now, the next question is, do they harm anyone else? Are they, a polluter, or are they, somehow a threat to security? But the thing is, we already have lots of companies in New Zealand that have to be regulated for all those things. So why would we discriminate on the basis that they're foreign? And I think in some cases it's xenophobia and a distrust or dislike of people who are different from us. I think that's an unfortunate view, but some people hold that. I think some of it's just fear of the unknown. But I think our goal as a country should be to embrace our fellow people in different countries around the world, trade value for value, and get stronger together.
That was Casper speaking to David Seymour in his weekly chat with the ACT Party.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.